Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
The Padres Hot Tub is proudly brought to you by HeHeStreams.com. It is the best place to watch the Padres on the internet. And Corey, you know, normally John and I sit here as dedicated HeHeStreams.com viewers to pass along the truth. But I just think for everyone who's a Padre fan, this has been a season of trial when it comes to watching the games. If you aren't a cable owner, if you aren't AT&T, you're pretty much SOL unless you come on over into the hot tub with us, HeHeStreams.com, where for $90, you can stream the entire MLB season, not just the Padres, every single game with no territorial blackouts. What do you think about that?
I didn't know if we had to take a pause after
you. No, you're like frozen. I wanted your interaction. Okay. You're part of the act now.
I was like, okay, well, I am. This is like when Larry Sanders brings in Hank Kingsley with the garden, what's it called? The garden weasel, the weasel
As
whacker.
It turns
or whatever.
Out, yes, it's pretty much exactly like that.
Hey now. I do too enjoy watching the Padres baseball. So, yes.
So, HeHeStreams.com. Thank you. Is amazing. And listen, it's April 26th as we record this. It's April 27th if you're a free listener on the Padres Hot Tub feed. And if you're just tired of it, if you're tired of spending $80 a month or $100 a month or $215 a month, depending on where you are, for your sports services, and you feel like you're not getting the bang for your buck, go over to HeHeStreams.com. It's $100 per season for either Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, or the National Football League. Any one of those seasons, $100, complete streaming, no territorial blackouts. Any game that's on TNT, any game that's on ESPN, any game that's on any NBA TV, NHL Network, NFL Network, MLB Network, all of that is under HeHeStreams.com. And if you use our code, go to HeHeStreams.com, HeHeStreams.com/go/hot tub. Again, HeHeStreams.com/go/hot tub. $10 off. That means $90 for your season. Hundreds of San Diego Padres fans have taken advantage of our discount, which has meant we've been able to give away free subscriptions to our Patreon subscribers. Join the party. Cut the cord. Get away from the man. HeHeStreams.com/go/hot tub. Welcome to the Padres Hot Tub. Craig Elston, John, nope. No John Gennaro.
No, he's laying on the beach naked in Malibu right now, everybody. Woo!
It's late at night, but I do believe that. The later it gets, the wilder John gets on the beaches of Malibu. Corey Stewart hashtag, is here.
Hashtag John after dark.
So Craig and Corey with you this week, and we thank you for joining us as we talk about one of the great weekends in recent San Diego Padres history. I can't tell you how excited I am to record this with you right now, my friend. I mean, we are talking about some magical moments that have just happened over the last 96 hours in Padres baseball.
3 out of 4 at Dodger Stadium. Are you kidding me? After getting swept by the Brewers at home?
People were making bets. Radio shows were making bets. Breweries were making bets.
You hit me up to do this show. I think it was Thursday afternoon, right? Or Thursday morning or something like that. Yeah. And, oh boy, I was not expecting a fun conversation tonight. I was, it felt low. It really felt low.
And now we are as high as we can be, essentially, without pharmaceutical aid.
Speaking of that, before I get before I get into the second glass of whiskey, can I just talk about my notes that I made today when I should have been working, when I should have been writing a proposal? So I made some Padres notes, and this is I don't do this usually. I just come on here and I drink and I yell at you and do stuff. But I actually did some research, not me. But I just put down some stuff. So this is my defense of Jace Tingler.
Oh, we're gonna just jump right into.
We are. We're gonna jump
right
into
the middle of the tub. Yeah. All right, let's go.
Right. Okay. So, I do realize that he's had his ups and downs. I understand that 100%.
Yes.
Right. Okay. We can all agree on that. Okay. However. Okay. So 24 games in 25 days. Right?
Not easy.
17 straight games, right?
In April, particularly tough.
Including a trip to Texas and then to Pennsylvania for the Pittsburgh series, right?
Not short travel. That's not up to Oakland.
Exactly. Thank you. Okay. Now, the Dodgers have had 3 off days. The furthest that they've had to travel is to Seattle, which we all know is half a Xanax and a beer, and you're there, and it's all great. Yeah, and then you're having chowder. Okay. So, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that this team has had a full-blown storm thrown at them. Okay? So, 0 games from your number one catcher, Austin Nola.
Not sure.
He hasn't gotten to play a game, right? That's kind of important. You lose your – he's your number one catcher, right? Or no?
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah.
He is. Okay, right. Okay. So losing your number one catcher a week before opening day, that's a big deal.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Potentially very important.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Grisham and Tatis have only played 15 of the games.
That's not 22 or 24.
24. Exactly. That's – not good. Those are very important.
That's a lot. That's a high percentage.
Okay. Where did they bat during the Dodger series?
1-2.
Right. Okay. So those are pretty important players. And Grisham's defense. Tatis is obvious.
Yeah.
Significant. Tatis has been a disaster in the field. 9 errors is insane. I'm not worried about it. I think he'll be fine. But it's been bad, and it's hurt, right? Okay.
Right.
Bam. He's 6th on the team in at-bats. He has 1 more extra base than a dead man. He has 1 double.
Yeah.
He has 1 double and a bunch of singles. And he's walked a lot. That's great. Appreciate it. But still, got to be a little bit more production from that, right?
Yeah.
And he's fucking awful. Let's just be honest. He's fucking dead. Okay. Morejon's arm exploded.
Yeah.
That was very bad.
Not good.
Yeah, that was bad.
Splat.
We got 2 innings pitched from LeMet. And let's be honest. Let's be honest. His arm probably exploded as well. Right. Do you expect to see LeMet back this year?
No, but that's a great reminder for me to put that back into the menu.
Okay.
Something to talk about.
I mean, they might bring him back for another game where he goes an inning or 2 batters or two innings, whatever. But he, by the way, he looked pretty good in those two innings. I was like,
yeah,
the last,
I was excited.
Guy, I hope me too, because he's so fucking good. Anyway, I don't expect him back. Blake Snell has had a start where he lasted two and a third innings, where he got the first two.
Two thirds of an inning.
Got the first two guys out like beautifully, and then absolutely shit the bed in fucking Pittsburgh for the fucking Pirates. We are 13-11. We're 13 or three games back of the best record in all of baseball, which is the Dodgers, and which is the team that leads our division. He's not a failure. He's not. And like I just feel like he needs a lot more rope than what we're giving him already. I know that he's made some bad bullpen decisions, but he's also made some really good ones. And they're taxed, man. They're taxed. The Snell game killed them. The Mora home game or the Lamet game killed them, and these happened within that 17 game stretch.
Right. With no days off to recalibrate or reset.
No.
Right.
I mean he
and
has
the guy that, I'll even add some more kindling to your firewood here. The guy who's supposed to be the reset button in the bullpen is Ryan Weathers, and he got conscripted into the starting rotation because of the injury to Adrian Morejon. So you don't even have the reset button that you used to have. The reset button is now Craig Stammen.
Right, right. And honestly, Stammen's been spectacular. He really has. He's been amazing. I mean, he's been very reliable and very, very good. And I'll tell you what, when he's been Stammen, it's been in a game that's like, you know, out of reach. I mean, I know I shouldn't be talking about out of reach games after they just came back 7-1.
Right. However, really early in the year, it's more like Stammen used in the eighth inning that was a problem, or Stammen left in to pinch hit after he had pitched two innings, you know. But since then, he's generally been used as, first guy out after somebody gets hurt in the first inning or
someone after the trainers come out and talk to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, or for example, Sunday after Joe Musgrove has to throw 80 pitches in three innings, you know, and they're like, okay, we can't let him keep going. So Stammen, go out there, soak up two, you know, and he soaks up two. He's done all right.
Two or three, 100%. And the other thing that I'd like to say about Blake Snell, I love Blake Snell so much. And I think he's going to be spectacular. I really do. I don't worry. He's another guy. I'm not fucking worried about him at all.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But as far as like pulling him early the other night, okay. I get your frustration. I really, really do. But stop comparing it to game six and Kevin Cash.
Right.
Because the Blake Snell that was in game six against the Dodgers was a dominant, badass motherfucker. We have not seen dominant, badass motherfucker Blake Snell yet. We will.
No.
He's coming. We've seen little tiny little flashes of it, and he's coming. He just hasn't been there yet. But when he is there and he is dealing like a motherfucker, Jace Tingler is not going to walk out and go give him. He's just not. But he hasn't seen that yet. So sorry, but he's got to go get him sometimes. And sometimes it's going to work out, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes Pierce Johnson's going to come out, and he's going to be spectacular. And other times he's going to come out, and he's going to spray diarrhea all over the place, and that's what he did. You just can't keep managing this guy from behind.
So my number one critique of Jace Tingler is that I don't feel sometimes he has the ability yet to – I called it on Twitter, read the room. You know, and that's more of a political sense, but kind of read the feel of the game, read the feel of the dugout, the feel of just of everything, just to like kind of have that sense, be a little empathic to the aura of the situation and act accordingly. I don't feel like he's there yet. I feel like he's very didactic as a manager. And the thing that we don't know, and honestly cannot know unless someone leaks, is how much of this is given to him or how much of this is him.
I was just gonna say, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know how much the front office is involved. I fucking hope they are. They should be. We should have every brain on this. But we also, at the same time, we want to give you as much information as humanly possible, and we want to give you the best scenario. Hey, he's at so-and-so pitches, and blah, 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 blah. But we still want you to also bring in that human element of your brain and go, okay, you know, yeah, he can get this fucking guy. Let's go.
Yeah. See, yeah, that's where I feel like he's short right now. Is that I feel like Jace Tingler has been told before the game, Blake Snell must pitch no more than, you know, like ideally must pitch 90 pitches or fewer, and at the absolute utmost should pitch 97 because at 102 it's this or that.
Yeah.
And Jace has been like, got it, boss. Got it. Understand. Okay. Pitch number, what was that? 89. Let's go. You know, because I'm petrified that the next guy, he runs a full count, fouls off five pitches. Next thing you know, on pitch 97, there's a double. You know, and now I'm in hot water.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
It,
and so
isn't it a communication thing though? If the front office, if they do, obviously they have a goal in mind. I understand that, but they also should be able to communicate to him, in a, I don't know. And I'm just assuming that this is what they're pumping him with info and all that, but they also should be making him comfortable that he can make mistakes and he can fuck up and learn from them rather than be scared. Right. Oh my God, I've got to answer to, you know, like a, just go into a dark room after the game and there's like and Preller and whoever the fuck is it, like
strobe
at a desk,
lights
like,
are on.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
visual distortions are used.
Yeah, exactly. He sits down.
Why you know, did you then, pitch it? We said no multiple inning appearances.
In the fifth inning with 2 outs, Camposano, what the fuck, you know? And he's just like, I hope that they're
the music is blaring.
Like the strobes on his bald head.
Why did you pitch it now?
His beet red face because he's just burned all the fucking time. Exploded. Yeah. So I just hope that they're just not making him uncomfortable and scared to manage because I want to see that. Like, let's see him do his thing. Like, and it was funny because in the Dodgers series, there was that with you and you, I can't remember who he got out, but Betts was coming up and it was at the end of his outing. And apparently Jace was going to come out, it looked like, or something like that. And Caratini was like, no. And Jace stopped and stayed. And then they let you face Mookie and he got Mookie out.
Right.
And how did he get Mookie out?
Into Manny's leaping glove, I believe.
Exactly. Yeah. How many third basemen in the league catch that ball?
Manny, Nolan, maybe.
Right. Anybody
maybe
else?
Matt Chapman, maybe.
Maybe Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So what happens? Play. But what happens if that ball goes into left field?
Right. No, absolutely. Right.
Yeah, but everybody the next day was like, oh, look at Caratini. Yeah, he's taking control and telling Jace, get your ass back there. You shouldn't be making this. But so Jace, that one time, is finally like, all right, okay, yeah, fuck, let's go for it. Face him. But he would have got killed if that ball would have went into left. He's got a fucking terrible job, right? And it's tough. And they're 13-11 and they're 3-5.
It's a hard job. I'll never forget. I remember being up in the stands at Dodger Stadium, like 1998, watching the best Padre team ever kicking the Dodgers' butt, and hearing Padre fans in the stands next to me going, "Bochy's the worst manager ever. He should be fired." You know, because as soon as you're a good team, every critical decision actually matters. You know,
yeah.
The one again, I'll just reassert, the one thing we don't know is if Jace Tingler is being literally told he cannot manage in terms of like, you may not use Drew Pomeranz for 4 outs. I'll just give you an example.
There's a book, and you, and it's like the book where NFL coaches have to, whether they go for two or they go for one.
Right. Yeah. A chart. Yeah, exactly.
A chart. And Jace just has this where he just goes, okay, guy on first, right-handed pitcher, left-handed batter. This many outs. What do you do here? We don't know that.
My dream is that they say to him, look, it's April, and therefore you must do this. In September, you'll have the ability to choose what you want to do. You know, and
if I'll give him a little more rope as the season just keeps going.
For example, if that were the case, I would hope that he would tell Blake Snell in the office after the game, listen, I didn't have the ability to leave you in today.
Right. Yeah.
But I will have the ability to leave you in August. And I'm going to do that when I think you can get the out. And I believe you could have got the out tonight, but I was told it was 90 or it's my ass in a sling.
You know? But you're still a little scared of Snell right now, though, right?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Look, Blake, I think, has honestly been the biggest underperformer in the Padres rotation.
When you sent me the list, that was the guy that was on my list.
And that includes Chris Paddock, because I think Chris Paddock has been exactly what I expect him to be.
Same.
Blake Snell has been the frustrating version of him that I listened to a lot listening to Tampa Bay Rays games last year. The guy who two times through the order, full count, you know, walk a guy, get stuck on two pitches. The thing about Blake Snell is he's a tantalizer. He's almost like the pitching Daryl Strawberry, you know, because Daryl wasn't just a great player. He was a player you'd dream on. And you'd be like, oh, my God, he did that, but he could do so much more, you know. And that's what Blake Snell is to me, is like every time I see him, I'm like, he doesn't even have to command four. But if he could command his fastball, curveball, and slider in the same game, he's Kershaw. You know, he's seven innings, two hits. Good luck. No walks, 13 strikeouts. You know, like that if he commands, he's untouchable because his pitches work well together. They tunnel. Everything works. He's smart. But the problem is, doggone it, Blake, so far with the Padres, has never had command of more than 1 to 1.5 pitches per outing. Like the last time against LA, it was only the fastball. If you were watching, he was only confident with his fastball against LA, and he was throwing but his curveball, he'd miss. His slider, he'd miss.
And that was the game too, where Grisham caught the ball at the wall, right?
Yes. Great.
Yeah. Catch. Great catch. But like, I mean, that's – if Pham's in center, that's a double, triple, who knows?
Double, triple, right. Profar, double, triple. Yeah.
Double, triple. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it still wasn't, you know, spectacular. But, Jace got beat up about taking him out of that. And they're like, and I hear this, it's Kevin Cash all over again. It is not even fucking close to what Kevin Cash did. Because he was a monster that night, and we have not seen that yet, but we're going to. And he's even said it when he was on with Ben and Woods recently. He said, I'm not totally comfortable yet. Okay.
Yeah.
I get that.
Give it time.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, fine. Just take your time, become that dude, because we need you later. And you're going to be that guy then. For what he's done in April, has it been great? No, but shit.
Been left in the sixth, 100% absolutely. He should have been left in. Probably. He was the bottom of the order. He got the first guy out. There's absolutely no reason not to take him out. And by the way, he's in the exact same spot as you, Darvish. We don't know when these guys are going to get hurt. As Padres fans, we need to be excited about using up as much of Yu Darvish and Blake Snell as we can. I don't think that there's any 100% commitment to these guys beyond the end of their commitment to us contractually. And Yu's at an age, Blake isn't, but like, these aren't our babies. These aren't our children, you know, like, use them.
You're ice cold motherfucker, Craig Elston. Ice cold motherfucker.
I want to win. I want to win, brother.
Oh God, I just do. Oh, but, can I just piggyback on that? Just one thing about Blake, about when he got pulled out, and you're like, oh, it's the bottom of the order, blah, 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 blah. And you're 1,000% right, and he should have got those motherfuckers out. However,
so should Pierce.
100%.
Yeah.
Anybody in that bullpen, every single arm in that bullpen should be able to get those guys out. And instead, he went out and just shit the bed. And you have to know about the top of their order. You got to know that. Right. So go after fucking 7, 8, 9. Go after them. Because you don't want to get to Mookie. I don't ever want to see Mookie. Ever. Ever. And he was not good in this last series. I still don't want to see him. He still scares the shit out of me.
He's a bad man.
He hits like a motherfucker. So do your work on Barnes and whoever the fuck they've got at the bottom of their order.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This podcast is off to a swimming start. We definitely dove into the middle of this. I mean, the Padres took 3 out of 4 in LA against the Dodgers, rallying from and I'm going to get on Tinkler when we get to this game, from a 7-1 deficit that 100% they should not have been in, to an 8-7 win in extra innings. Game 1 goes extra innings. Game 7 of the series goes extra innings. And the Padres, Corey, have taken 4 out of 7 from the Dodgers, a team that you won't find a person in baseball that doesn't agree isn't the, not just the best team, but one of the best teams of all time. Padres have taken 4 out of 7.
What's wild is we could be 7-0 and we could be 0-7.
You're right.
I mean, right?
Yeah. We could be 1-6. We could be 1-6. The Friday game was a dominant win. 6-1. Darvish, Tatis, 2 homers.
Oh, yeah.
That game can't reverse.
That's true. Okay, that's true. Okay, that's true.
1-6. They could be 0-7. We could be 1-6.
But for 7 games, like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Yesterday, during that game, by the way, did you watch the entire thing? Did you turn it off?
I never turned it off.
No. Really?
Really?
You. I turned on the Oscars because I'm a bad fan. I was so mad. I was so mad. When I got to see,
you know why?
One,
I'll tell you the God honest reason why.
Furious.
God honest reason why. Patreon.com/PadresHotTub.
Oh.
We're in the Discord.
You've got to do it.
And it's like, I was at, people at 7-1 were killing Dingler.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it was a matter of talking through that. And honestly, I always thought the Padres were coming back in that game because I knew what the Dodger bullpen situation was. So I was writing at that time, like, how frustrated I was going to be with a 7-5 loss, which is what I straight up was figuring was going to happen. Right. When they got to 7-5, I'm like, oh, here we are. This is where it's going to end. But it didn't end that way. It ended 7-7 to get to 8-7. An incredible, incredible comeback.
What was the percentages that ESPN was showing at the end? Like, had the Dodgers won like 200 and some games or whatever in a row where they'd been up by more than 6 runs or something?
Oh my God.
Stupid. And then the other thing about coming back from so many runs after the,
It was something crazy. It was like, 100 people have done it and 13,625 have failed.
It was insane. Like, what are the fucking chances? Wow.
Very, very few. But the way the Dodger bullpen was falling apart, it wasn't as unrealistic as it normally would be. The Padres have elements of a truly special team that reveal themselves over the course of this weekend, and they are incomplete. I think your defensive Jace Tingler to open things, Corey, fully detailed there the areas where they're incomplete right now, and where those are the notes.
Notes.
They are copious and they are organized. I mean, I can almost read them through the Zoom.
They're terrible. Oh my God.
I think they're better than I expected, to be honest.
I can barely print a sentence at this point.
But I mean, to for this club. Let me put it this way. The Padres' performance against the Dodgers should be held up in comparison to the Padres' performance against the Brewers and the Pirates, the two series that preceded LA series. What we learned definitively is that this club's got it. The Padres have got it. They've got what it takes. They're going to be a good club. And that's why baseball, like by affirmation, is saying the Padres are the next best team to LA, a 13-11 club. For many baseball people, that wouldn't make sense, right? You'd rank them by percentage. And the 13-11 club would be the eighth pick, right? Padres are the second pick right now. But we're also that type of immature club that doesn't yet understand how to handle the series that aren't the big series. We're here to show up for the big series. And in a 60-game season, you were here to show up over and over because you knew each series was three times more important. But in a long series, like, for example, I'm concerned about the Arizona series. I could see an 0-2 very easily to piss everybody off because the club just went through the gauntlet. And then you show up in Arizona and you know, it's 108 degrees and you lose and you're like, what the fuck, you know, but I just, this club is showing right now that they can get up here, but I don't know if they can stay up here at the top level all the time.
That's very fair. By the way, there's going to be great weather in Arizona for this trip. The roof is going to be open as reported.
Really?
Yes. As reported by Mark Wilkins.
Oh, well,
how about that? Yes. How about that? Yeah. But no. Yeah. It's scary. I really wish we were facing Bumgarner. I don't know how the fucking Braves got no hit by that dickhead, but I wish he were pitching. I'll tell you that. No. Yeah. But you're right. You're absolutely right. That they should not have what happened in Pittsburgh should not have happened. They are getting up for the games that really, really matter. Like to have that intensity with the way the Dodgers thing. The Brewers thing was so perfect for the Brewers because they just roll in after we have just this mentally exhausting series against the
Dodgers.
They have their two best pitchers are going and they ran out of town. It was like, what just happened? you're like looking for your wallet, you know. and they're on the airplane just like with double birds going, fuck you guys, and then all of a sudden we're on buses up to LA, and that's why that's why I was so scared about going to the Dodgers series, just because that must have been so demoralizing to get beat like that at home.
Yeah.
And just get, I mean, they get 5 fucking hits or something like that.
I mean, John and I went to that Corbin Burns game. Corbin Burns is insane. He's throwing sinkers at 98. He's Blake Crinan, but a starter. It's ridiculous.
This guy's just looking stupid.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He never walks
anybody. He's got,
oh my God,
he's got crazy shit and he's like 0 walks, 40 strikeouts. It's insane.
So the first game was, who was the guy in game one?
Woodruff, right? Was it
Woodruff? Woodruff. Yeah. So they get off to this great start on Woodruff, and they got a run, and they got a couple guys on base, and I was like, oh, everybody's talking about Woodruff this. It was like boom, like we fucking hit him like immediately. And I was like, all right, here we go, let's light this fucker up, and then he just shut it down. We did nothing, and Luis got his home run. Like it was just terrible. It was so bad, and then we got to go to the latrine. I'm just stunned that they had the fortitude to just not even take three or four, but to come back at, like, when you're down 7-1, that's fucking, that's brutal, especially there, because they just pile on mistakes. Is something that the Padres really have to learn how to do the way that the Dodgers do. Like when you make it a small error or you walk somebody, like you just fucking gotta pound them on that. And like, that's something that I think we'll learn it. I really do, but it's, they can really avalanche you.
Well, Corey, let's correct a failing that we have on today's podcast right now, because we've gone almost a half an hour without mentioning our king. Our Lord and Savior.
I already mentioned Jay Stengler. What are we? What?
Ding, ding, ding for the win. Corey Stewart. Fernando Tatis Jr. took his legend to a brand new level this last weekend. And you know, we've talked so much about Tatis. We've had our patrons tell us you need to have Tatis time every podcast. You need to like separate 10 minutes. Just make sure you talk about how great Tatis is. They're not wrong when they say that. But this is different, man, because I've always known through Fernando's career that he's a great player who is playing incredibly hard for the Padres and is excelling on a personal level, excelling on a team level, elevating the group. I've known all of that. But I didn't know that he was fighting for us. And by I mean us, you and me, the fan base, that he was really fighting for us. And this weekend he proved it, because he took Trevor Bauer to town. And it's not just banging him twice. It's not just covering the eye. It's not just doing the McGregor when he crossed home plate after the second homer, trolling Bauer with his own bits. You know, as I said on Twitter that night, doing the "I drink your milkshake," you know, from "There Will Be Blood," you know, drainage, you know, draining all of his bits. But when Bauer came after him, as we knew he would, it was the first thing I tweeted that day after the first home run. I said, Trevor has hours to plot his social media team response. You know, like, you knew it was coming. We're going to talk a lot about this, how Trevor Bauer manipulated the media over the course of like 6 hours to completely reshape the conversation. But when all that shit happened, he came right back at him, photoshopped Bauer pointing to his closed eye to a photoshop of him holding a baby, and wrote "Tranquilo, hijo." And I'm like, you're with us, man. Like, you're not just playing for us. You're with us. You're with us all the way. I didn't know, but I bow to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never felt more connected to an athletic player in my life.
How long has that been our meme, by the way?
Right.
That was spring training 2019, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he was in the what I want to say hotel, but it's Peoria, so it's a motel basically.
Hotel, motel, holiday.
Whatever. End. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, how long have we been using that meme? Like, putting different heads on it. Like, we've had Bumgarner. He has so many people on it. And for Fernando to use that, I was dead. I'll tell you what, the night that this is so pathetic, but I'll tell you anyway, the night that he retweeted or quote tweeted my tweet,
yeah,
which was him at third base, and I can't remember who they were playing. He's at third base and he's like, he's ready to take home, and another one of his amazing play. Like, I don't even remember what, because he's got so many already, and he goes in and scores or whatever, and there was like a great like a shot of him tagging up on third and then kicking off. And I did like a, I tweeted Bay come over or whatever and Fernando and then the him going. And he quote tweeted that and I fucking lost my shit. I died. And so for him to do the actual Photoshop thing of the of him holding the baby in the Peoria at spring training in the fucking elevator that dude got. I can't even remember who got the picture. Like, I don't remember where it originated from. It's been reused and used and used so many times. For him to use that and throw that back at Trevor Bauer and that to be like a national thing. Fucking mind blowing. Like he loves us. He loves being here. And he's a superstar. That's what I'm saying. It's fucking crazy. And so is Manny. Manny loves being here and he's a superstar.
It was one of the most special weekends in San Diego sports history. I'll just come right out and say it. It was one of the most special weekends in the history of our sports city because this is our guy, right? And Fernando committed to us and we committed to him. A 14-year contract, no trade clause for the entirety of it. Like, just like an unprecedented commitment. And then he gets hurt. He comes out. He plays like objectively horribly, like borderline worst that he could possibly play. And he comes into this LA series and I think we're all doubting him. I mean, you know, if you go back to the Friday mailbag, John was like, I don't think he'll hit for power. You know, we're wondering, we're legit. Is he so hurt? Is this going to be a thing where he plays three more weeks and then the flag goes up the flagpole and it's over? Yeah. And no, spoiler alert, it's not that. He's going to go deep twice off Kershaw where Kershaw falls to a knee. Like, thank you, meme. Unbelievable. Falls to a knee. He's so devastated. You're going to take Bauer out twice to the point where he makes a video that we knew he had to make to save his own ass. And the next day, honestly, the toughest guy of the three goes out.
Hands down. Hands down. Hands down.
Dustin May is one of the toughest motherfuckers I've ever seen in my life.
Don't talk about Bueller and Kershaw and Bauer. He's the guy. He's the fucking
It's unbelievable.
Hit the shit, like, oh.
When he got touched for the bomb by Tatis, every batter after that, there was no chance.
No.
There was like no chance in the big leagues. In the big leagues with this lineup, there was no chance. 99 with movement, a wipeout slider that would like whip like a freaking whip. Like,
by the way, I just want to say, so the game, I watched the first, I don't know. I watched until we got down 7-1. And as I watched, I had the audio off on ESPN because fuck them. And so I was listening to my beloved Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr., produced by Dave Marcus, by the way. Love you, Dave. And so I'm
looking at that. And I we got to set up. Yeah. Hey, we got to set up the feed.
By the way, if anybody should write a book, it's that motherfucker.
Right? If he wanted to really come clean, he could come clean.
Oh my God.
He would make $1 million tomorrow.
Please do it, Dave. I love you, baby. Anyway, I'm resync it, like, but it was worth it because I get Jesse and I don't have to listen to fucking Matty V and A-Rod and Buster Olney. Come on. Anyway, so I fucking hate Buster so much. He's such a dick. Anyway, so I turn it off because we're getting our ass beat and I'm so mad and angry. And I was like, I want to watch the Oscars. I want to look at Regina King. That's got to be better than this bullshit. So we watched that for
was
a while.
Was our girl there? Was Megan there? No, she wasn't.
Oh, she was not. Yeah. And Darren Smith sends me a text and he's like, are you freaking out? And I'm like, I'm freaking out about what? I'm like, I'm watching the fucking Oscars. And he's like, yeah, your guys are coming back. And I was like, oh, okay. So I go into the kitchen and I see, you know, that it's getting somewhat close. And I got it 7-5 or whatever, I think is when I walked in there. And so I didn't turn off the big TV. So I just sat in the kitchen like a dildo and like watch it. And then they tied it. I'm like, oh fucking here we go. So I'm like, okay, I gotta put it back on the big TV. So I go back to the big TV, turn that up. But I didn't sync it up with Jesse, and I just had the ESPN thing on. And the dildo from A-Rod was talking about shit, what were we talking about at the very beginning of this?
The cheating? What? What are you talking about?
I just completely lost my train of thought about what A-Rod was talking about.
Talking about Tatis, Bauer. That's what we were kind of going through.
Fuck. Can we pause it and go back to where it was, where we were?
Sure.
Can we? Can we do that?
Yeah.
Are we unpaused? Okay, so fucking Matty B and A-Rod started talking about Dustin May and started talking about the fact that he had to win his job over David fucking Price in spring training. And I was like, are you out of your fucking mind? Are you kidding me? And then, of course, David Price comes in and just shits the fucking bed. And it was like, fuck you, ESPN. It made me so happy. Anyway, I'm sorry I lost my train of thought. I'm a dildo and I'd probably never get invited back.
No, thanks for everything. We made you sound much better than you were.
Thank you so much.
It worked out. I'm presuming John did that, but then again, it's Malibu. You might have been exposed.
Exactly.
That could have not worked out.
Dustin May is a bad motherfucker.
Dustin May is incredible, but Fernando Tatis homered off him. Everyone else was striking out by a foot.
Oh yeah, and it wasn't even like it didn't look like he even like barreled it really. You know what I mean? Like usually like when he hits one, you go, oh my fucking
yeah.
God.
No, he
like,
fought like that one off.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Kershaw.
He powered it out to right center 98.
Yeah, exactly. The Kershaw one, the first one was 113, and then the second one was 115. like those are his normal, like you go
right.
Like it take your breath away. That one was like, oh. When he first hit it, it's like, okay, that's a long out. And it just kept going and kept going and kept going. And I was like, oh my God. Like he just
of the five homers he hit in LA, the one off May was by far the most impressive because I agree with you. Kershaw was two God shots. You know, the first one off Bauer was a hanger. It was you hang it, we bang it.
Yeah.
The second one was mythological. And of course, Bauer had to create a scenario to get himself off the hook for that one because he threw a pitch 6 inches off the plate and Tatis took him out to left center. So that can't be right because I can't possibly be owned that badly on a big league field. But May was, I mean, dude, he was impeccable. Like he was basically unhittable and except for that.
And, he's our number one. He's our number, hands down. Look, if you're starting the World Series, would you want to face him or would you want to face Bueller?
I'd rather face Bueller.
All day long. All day long. Bueller's,
I'd rather face Kershaw.
Kershaw any day of the week. Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
It'd be May and Urias as my first
right.
two.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah. That's their problem. And
thank God.
Dodger Heaven or the Blue Crew Report or whatever the fuck can figure that shit out. Because we're here to talk about the Padres. Oh.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah.
Can I say something really quickly?
You can say everything slowly. This is very good.
These are my miscellaneous notes. Manny Machado is tied for third in all of Major League Baseball in stolen bases.
Yeah, yeah.
With five. Mr. No Hustle.
By the way, this is something that our friends in our Discord have asked us to talk about tonight.
Oh.
Offers us an opportunity to remind everybody who's listening to the regular feed. Of course, John Gennaro is regularly here. But our Padres Hot Tub feed that we offer to you with ads, but free of charge, is just the tip of the iceberg for the content that we create on a daily and weekly basis. For as low as $5 a month, you can join us, patreon.com/Padres Hot Tub. Patreon.com/Padres Hot Tub. Don't just go hot tub. That's probably a different podcast. Patreon.com/Padres
I've been on that. I've been on that podcast, by the way.
It's higher than $5, but listen, we can't offer the same perks.
There's a lot of itching afterwards. I'll just say that.
You do need to take a test before and after, especially after. But we do offer three podcasts above and beyond what we offer to you for free. Ad-free podcasts of Padres Hot Tub. You get it the night of the release, and free access to our Discord server where we talk 24/7. About this San Diego Padres club and about what's going on. But we were asked to talk about the stolen bases of the San Diego Padres because the Padres are number one in steals. And what I really appreciate as you go back, Corey, through that Dodgers series, it's not that the Padres are a willy-nilly steals club. This isn't when 1980, when the Padres turned things over to Jerry Coleman and Jerry Coleman just said, everybody run, you know, like, that's not what's going on here. The Padres are very specific and targeted in how they steal, and yet they lead the league in steals. The number one reason why is because basically the Dodgers lead the league in bad steal defense. They're the worst in the league at defending the steal. They have two catchers who can't throw anybody out, and they have an entire staff that's been trained not to care as what happens when the runner's on first base and to focus on the pitch. And the Padres stole seven bases off like just Blake Treinen, Kenley Jansen, and Scott Alexander over the weekend. They stole seven bags off just those guys. And I love that the Padres recognize a market inefficiency in baseball right now. In the grip it and rip it era, they have isolated that all these high velo pitchers have forgotten how to hold runners. Steal a bag. They are way over 80%. In steal percentage, therefore, the Padres should steal all the time.
That's a great recipe for playoff baseball, isn't it?
Yeah.
Letting people just steal bases on you like crazy. That's not going to hurt you later on. Of course it is. I love that. I love that weakness about them. I love that. I was mentioning about Manny with his five steals. One of the guys that he's tied for third in all of Major League Baseball is Trent Grisham.
Right.
And we talked earlier about the fact that Trent Grisham has played 15 games. His five stolen bases. That's pretty good. That ain't bad.
Fam is stolen. Cronenworth is stolen. And the team leads the league in double steals.
Yes.
No one else is even trying a double steal. But the thing is, the Padres are being really smart about when they steal, because they're stealing in first and third situations. They're stealing in first and second situations in pressure spots where baseball these days has said, doesn't matter. The leg kick matters. The velo matters. The next pitch matters. What the runners do doesn't matter. And the Padres are like, okay, well, if it's fine by you, we're going to take an extra base and we're going to see what that does for us. And by the way, that's how the Padres beat the Dodgers on Sunday. It was a double steal. It was Tatis stealing third to score on a sac fly. You know, Hosmer hits the sac fly. Yay, Hosmer. It would have been an out if they easily had the double steal.
Easily stealing third, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, so, no throw.
So does Tingler get credit for that?
Jace Tingler deserves a ton of credit for everything except his bullpen management.
Okay. So, like, it, like, is this an organizational philosophy thing where they're going, okay, we got to steal. They're learning that from probably, right? Yeah. So it's like, yeah. And we have great base coaches now too. I'm not shitting on Hoffman. I'm not, but we really get, like, I mean, you can't beat Bobby Dickerson and Wayne Kirby.
Is there a booth in a bar in San Diego where Glenn Hoffman and Ted Leitner are just hanging out and trading stories?
Can we please go there, like, right now? Like, I will pay for a limo to pick both of you and I up to go do that.
Right?
I would kill for that. Oh my god! Holy shit!
So, yeah, I mean, look, the Padres almost split this series, and there is a fair argument because you did start with a very valiant Jace Tingler defense. There's a very fair argument to say that the Padres won the series in spite of Jace Tingler. Okay. You know, we've talked a little bit about Blake Snell, and I will not disagree that Pierce Johnson needs to pitch better in that spot.
Has to.
However, the Sunday game was a big fuck up. It was, Musgrove didn't pitch great. Okay. You went to your security blanket, Stammen, you get two innings. Okay. It's 2-1. May is shoving, but you know, two things. If you're in the dugout, you don't just know one thing, you know, two things. Number one, Dustin May is never going to pitch the seventh inning. Like, that's not going to happen. He's going to throw six tops. Number two, the Dodgers' top three relievers are out for this game. And you know this. So you have to do everything you can to keep the game close, knowing that you're going to come back. You're going to come back. May isn't going to last forever. You're going to come back. And what he did was the same thing Jace Tingler did the night before, which was rely on the worst pitcher on his staff to get a shutout. And it worked out with Aaron Northcraft, who elevated himself beyond the worst pitcher on the team with one really good outing. But Nick Ramirez is just a guy. He's a college pitcher.
Northcraft isn't.
At least he throws some Mariner. Like, at least he can jerk you off for an inning or two, you know? Like,
Okay, can I just say one thing about last night?
Yeah.
Who did he have available to close it out?
He could have thrown Austin Adams to start the sixth inning.
Okay. You're right.
Adams faced the exact same hitters that Ramirez faced an inning later, and he was like bang, 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 walk, three strikeouts.
Right.
And
but Austin Adams has also shit the bed when he's come in. Right?
Well, he's wild, but his stuff's unhittable.
Right. Okay. Right. But he's wild. Different.
Nick Ramirez throws 90, like,
I know. But our defense is really good, though, also, or should be.
The Padres were trying to avoid the scenario they eventually faced. They didn't want to pitch Adams and Pomerantz and Pagan and Melanson on Sunday. They tried to avoid it.
Right.
What they did was turn a 2-1 game to a 7-1 game by trying to avoid it, then pitch every single one of those guys anyway. So completely invalidating the thought process that led to the deficit.
Okay.
Nonetheless, they won.
And who was pitching? Who closed it out?
Melanson.
And who do you want closing it out?
Melanson.
And a lot of people were yelling for Melanson to come in a lot earlier, correct?
I think people were yelling for Pomerantz to come in.
But they were also, but at some point they started yelling for Melanson too.
Well, let's just say, so let's stop to say a word about Mark Melanson.
Ugh. I have a lot of words to say about Mark Melanson.
I'd like to elevate Mark Melanson as my biggest pleasant surprise of 2021.
I'm holding up my notes. Yes, 1,000%.
When Mark Melancon was signed here on Padres Hot Tub, I described him as an outstanding attack reliever that the Padres could mix and match with their group of closers to create a really effective bullpen. And instead, he's been the guy, and it's 8 for 8. It's perfection. It's an extra inning save. That should count as 2 saves. When you have the tying run at second before you come out of the bullpen, I mean, that should be 2 saves. And he did it. Mark Melancon is pitching at a 2015 level right now, when he was like 51 for 54 on saves. He's pitching at an elite level, and the Padres are... The Padres got him for $3 million. The Padres got him for nothing.
Was it this three? I thought it was two.
I think it's two. What? But it's got incentives. It'll be.
I don't fucking care. Hope they give him $20 million.
Right?
But
it's the best deal in baseball this year.
I think you and I would be a bad podcast combo, because we feel the same way about like so many things. We're so alike. Like when he was signed, I felt the exact same way that you did. Like people were going, who's going to be our closer? Who's going to be our closer? And I kept going, I don't care who our closer is. We don't need a closer. I want Jace to work the numbers and see like who's coming up in the eighth, who's coming up in the ninth, and just juggle it and juggle it to what their strengths are. Pagan is a stud. Melancon's a stud. Kilo, and Palm. Like you can have, it doesn't matter who pitches the ninth. Who was my, right. You know, and which I felt really good about, because I'm a Trevor Hoffman, closer guy and all that shit. And I was just like, no, like just fucking play the matchups. And there was like, he's going to be the, I don't know if that was the thought process coming out of spring training, was this is our closer, but he has been absolutely spectacular. He's getting paid fucking nothing. When people are paying closers stupid money, he's getting paid nothing. He wanted to be here. He had other offers that were probably better. And he just like looked at this place, looked at our roster, and was like, yeah, I want to go there. I want to go there. And people who lost their shit about the guy... Oh, your boy from Kansas City.
What, Witt?
No. The reliever. Rosenthal.
God, yeah.
When they made that deal, you were not very happy. And he ended up really, really good.
And thank then God we didn't re-sign him. He's not going to pitch for the A's until October, if that.
God. Thank God. Thank God. And that would have been a lot of money, by the way. A lot of money. And what did Preller do? He got Melancon for nothing, for fucking nothing. What he's getting? What a quarter of what Jurickson is making this year?
Right.
You know, I mean, he's getting nothing, and he's a stone cold stopper. Yeah,
he's the most important player on the Padres right now.
Yeah. When you sent me that thing asking, "Hey, who's your unpleasant surprise and who's your pleasant surprise?" Melancon. It's 1,000%. I never would have thought. I was hoping like, okay, hey, we'll get some good innings out of him in the seventh, maybe the eighth. And then you got Pagan and Palm and those guys. Like, he's been the man. He's been the man. He comes out and he's just like, he's old as shit.
I tell you what, Sunday he showed me so much.
Oh,
because oh that's not easy. And he came out with second? The attitude of El Jefe, you know? I mean, he came out as...
You gave me a lead. That's a closer. There's closer mentality, and like, oh God, I hate saying mentality. It's such a sweet thing. Holy shit, I'm so sorry, everybody. but
and
like,
what I mean but, by that,
yeah,
is...
right, exactly. Yeah, and to your point. so, by the way, you know he's doing the Arizona series, right?
I do.
God,
it's okay. Anyway, I told you we're gonna lose two.
Yeah. I know. Well, yeah, I know that, and then we can blame that motherfucker. Anyway, okay. So going back. So he has this brain thing that is a closer thing, and to do it though with 2 outs. like with a guy in second is nuts, is absolutely nuts, and he just powered.
He's
through.
Got a cutter and a curveball that are legit, you know.
And also he got fucked on the Mookie at bat. He had that one come right down the middle. I mean, right now he was straight down the middle. How Mookie didn't crush that, I have no idea. And they called it a fucking ball. He called it a ball. Just embarrassing umpiring this entire series.
We have an important topic to get to before we get too much deeper into today's Padres hot tub, which is, we alluded to it, but Trevor Bauer making excuses and then the entire media taking the bait. And it kind of blew me away, to be honest, Corey, because we knew that Trevor Bauer was going to do something on YouTube. Like, that was guaranteed.
Yeah.
And the fact that he went for what I would call a baseball deep fake is not shocking at all. That's Trevor Bauer. Take something, freeze frame it, zoom in, you know, pause, create a controversy, and then very importantly, create a whole comment tree off the controversy that you haven't actually proven. So, you know, he creates this whole thing, and, you know, he spent 7 minutes in a video kind of joking around with Tatis and his celebrations, and, you know, I'm okay with this, look how good I am, look what a big man I am, that I accept this. Oh, but now let's go to the videotape. Let's freeze it. Let's look where his eyes are. Oh, he's clearly stealing the signs. Well, this, you know, now I'm mild-mannered. I'm okay, but someone else might hit him in the ribs or hit him in the head, and that's just what, you know, someone else might do. And then Dave Roberts takes the bait. And then John Quintero takes the bait, and everyone takes the bait. And it's like, are you kidding me? At this point, I was like, John Boy, you're a national hero because you create a video where you actually prove and show, like, no, he might have peaked location. He didn't peak a sign. Nonetheless, Bill Plaschke writes as fact into the headline in the LA Times, the Los Angeles Times, that Tatis is stealing signs, and, you know, and therefore what should be done? And it's like, Trevor, you're a fucking genius. Like, you know, I got to give you props, man, because I hate you and I think you're the biggest douche in baseball, but your shtick works. You have manipulated the Los Angeles media into taking a clip and without any, like, even cursory inspection, just running with the story and running it up the flagpole. And I'm like, dude, you figured it out. You figured out how to turn every loss into a controversy, if not a win. I can't even be mad at Trevor Bauer. What I'm mad at is assholes like Bill Plaschke and you know, Paul Mahon, like people who just take the fucking bait and are uncritical about what they do. Like, he's created a perfect atmosphere for uncritical assholes.
The guy I'm most disappointed in is Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
Like, I know that he's in a bad position because you got to protect your guy and all that shit, but come on, man. He knows. Like, he knows. But like I said, he's in a shit position where he's got a guy who's making $40 million or whatever this year. And like, this is what they signed up for. So fuck him. You know, when he walked into spring training with a video camera in front of him walking in, you knew it was this is just going to be a disaster. It's not even the end of April. He's a gigantic dildo. And here's the fucking manager looking like a dipshit defending what he said and giving it validity. It's so pathetic. Like, Plaschke's a fucking troll, and that's his deal to get clicks and crap like that and whatever. And it's what he was looking for. But fucking, dude, you're the manager of the Dodgers. Dude, come on,
right?
He made a glance. He glanced. Like, please. It's honestly, it's embarrassing. It really
the
is.
Clip this morning of Bellinger hawkeyeing three times. Like, you know, obviously there's double standards on double standards on double standards,
right? Yeah.
Through all of this. But what really amazes me is that a narrative could have been so quickly adopted and uncritically presented. Like, Alex Rodriguez was a voice of reason on Sunday Night Baseball, and that's just not right. You know, like that shouldn't happen.
It really
and yet
shouldn't.
It did.
And yet it did.
And so Trevor Bauer, like, I give him a ton of credit, but I give LA media way less credit, you know, like.
Oh, they've been lapping it up from the other thing was that the kid that was getting bullied online or whatever, that who was the dildo that did the column about that? Was it Bill Shaken who did the, oh, this kid's getting bullied. And so Trevor brought him into the Dodgers clubhouse and give him a tour. Yeah. And I'm like, he bullied that girl for how long? Him and his white knights bullied that girl for weeks. Like, and then Chicken's like, oh, look at this guy. Like, you're fucking pathetic. You're fucking
pathetic.
Just
say something though? If Trevor Bauer didn't exist, we'd need to invent him. Like, he's in some ways perfect for modern baseball.
I mean, there's always bad people in baseball, but he's just adapted to the social media aspect, like, because we haven't had that back in the past, you know. Because there's obviously been some. Can you imagine if there was Twitter around when Schilling was? John Rocker,
right?
Think about all the assholes that, like, you know, Goose was a total piece of shit. we had no idea what they would have done. There's a new thing, and he's taking advantage of it.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As I survey our menu, Corey, we have in our own haphazard, drunken way navigated most of it. But there are a couple of things left to tackle. So can we briefly discuss Denelson Lamet?
Okay.
Because I'm going to stand by the tweet that, and Ben Woods brought it up when I was on Friday, but I feel like the Padres are gaslighting me and the entire fan base when it comes to Denelson Lamet. I feel like there's zero honesty here. If he was throwing the way he was throwing and he was healthy, you would have left him in. If he's hurt, you take him out. He's on the DL, but he's okay. That's not fine with me. Like, There's something here that you're not telling us, and I just don't understand why. I truly don't understand why the Padres feel like they must be dishonest about injuries on their team. Do they really think they've gained a competitive advantage that, like, the Giants are planning ahead to Lamet or something? Like, what is the end game that they're conjuring? Why not just be honest?
It's an organizational tradition. Right? I mean, it is. The first time that this happened was that famous Jeff Sanders tweet that I love so much that I will always keep in my favorites and I can get to immediately. Because it's so Padres, and it always will be. Okay, here you go. So this is a Jeff Sanders tweet from the first time around. Denelson Lamet elbow has had an MRI, testing. The hashtag Padres are not interested in discussing the results. They are not interested in updating his status until he starts progressing toward throwing again, and he is not throwing again. Right. We're just going to let it lie, Green said. That was the first time around. It's it's what they do. It's like, because we always joke about, like, as soon as something happens to somebody and they get taken out, it's like, oh, so and so has to get their arm amputated, or they got to, you know, because that's this. It's always downplayed, and I like with him. No, I don't expect to see him again. I expect him to get TJ again, and us to see him in 14 to 16 months or whatever.
Right. Like, do you even have? I wouldn't be shocked if they throw him out there. Right. 6 days from now or 4 days from now or whatever the time span is.
But I hope, but if they do that, I really hope that they're prepared for that. Like, because the last time around, and I really don't think that they thought his arm was going to explode when he went out last time, but
yeah,
they weren't prepared for it, clearly. And it hurt the bullpen badly. So you can't have him come out and pitch two innings or an inning or a batter, because that's not going to hurt you that game. That's going to hurt you for five games.
Right. Craig Stammen can only pitch so much.
God. Holy shit. Holy shit. Yeah.
A couple things left on our menu here. We did talk about our biggest pleasant surprise, and it's Mark Melancon, and it's by affirmation. I don't think anyone can disagree. What's your biggest unpleasant surprise of the Padres this season so far?
I have two. My first one is Snell, just because I just felt that he was going to just be you, Darvish, when he would, like, it was just good, like there was going to be no point where you've got to, like, get acclimated, or you just jump in and you just, like, you're just mowing people down. I thought he was going to really crush it. And it's, he just needs more time to get comfortable, apparently. And I believe that he will. But it's not like I'm not devastated or anything. I know he's going to be fine. The second one is camp, because I know he's in over his head as far as, like, catching and all that. I get that. He should be getting minor league reps. He should have been doing that last year, and unfortunately COVID fucked everything up. But I felt him coming out of spring training right before Nola got hurt, we were talking about doing three catchers because he was hitting so well.
Right.
And the kid can hit. He's going to be a very, very good catcher. He's going to hit. He's gonna be a good defender across the board. It we just haven't seen it yet. And I know he sets some tough breaks. He's hit the ball sometimes really, really hard, really, really well, and it's been to outs. But I thought that he would hit better than he has, and I thought he would be a little bit better of a defender than he's been. But he just needs the minor league reps. He's a baby, and he's gonna be good, but he's not there yet. He's got and that needs to be. We need Nola back so bad. And Mateo, I'm done.
It's time to go. It's time to go.
Yeah, it really is. He's a terrible outfielder. He has amazing speed, but that's it. That's really it. And it's not enough. Not for this roster. This roster should be fucking better. And Brian O'Grady deserves a shot.
100% agree with you. That does clear out the last thing pretty much on the list. Like, camp is actively hurting the team. He's just not a good player. And when he came up in the Sunday game, I either Discorded or tweeted, I think Discord, I'm like, I'm honestly hoping for a strikeout here because I'm afraid of a double play. Cause it was, you know, there were two runners on at that time. And it was like, I'm scared to death of a double play, just strike out. And he flew out, and it was like, thank God, it's just an unproductive out. That's the best I can hope for, because that was 3 for 32 for Luis Camposano. You know, I mean, he's just he's overmatched offensively. He's overmatched defensively. And thank God that at the end of this weekend, Corey, minor league baseball starts again, because Luis Camposano belongs in the minor leagues. And as soon as Austin Nola is back, Luis Camposano can go start for El Paso every day and get hits and get confidence and block pitches and figure out how to run a staff and do everything that he needs to do. he's not ready. The Padres overpromoted him, overplayed him.
But who are you going to do?
Right. There's no one else. I mean, they traded everyone else.
You had to.
Right. There's no Austin Allen. There's no Austin Hedges. There's, you know.
Thank God.
All those guys are gone. You had to throw Camp out there, but he was trash. Like, he's not ready. So, you know, it's time to send him back. And hopefully Austin Nola comes back. So, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more about Campesano. Snell has been the biggest disappointment of the pitching staff, but that's numbers 3 and 2. The number one most unpleasant surprise of the Padres in 2021 is Fernando Tatis's defense. He's got 9 errors. If you told me he had 9 errors at the end of the season, I would have said that was a disappointing year for Fernando Tatis. Right now, he's on pace to either be Ian Desmond, or if you really want to be negative, Jose Offerman. Like a 38 error shortstop who, whatever he does offensively, it's like, yeah, but he committed 38 errors. You know, what do you want to do? So Fernando has been a straight nightmare defensively. He's had one good play, and that was that throw on the back end of the DP on Friday. That was an instinct play. You know, that was a do or die. We know it's there, but the thinking Tatis is the worst player in baseball defensively right now. And that's a hugely unpleasant surprise, because I thought he was a gold glove defender. And right now he ain't winning no gold glove this year. Like, that's over. He's already committed 9 errors. It's over. Like, he's a bad defensive shortstop that we need to improve to mediocre.
So do you think the defense situation has been because of the shoulder, like that he's worried about it? And do you think, I'm being Mr. Sunshine here, but hitting 5 home runs at Dodger Stadium makes you feel a lot more confident about the health of your elbow, which in turn makes you feel a little more zen as far as the defense goes? You know what I mean?
Maybe. Straight up honesty, no. I think I'm worried that he's going to be bad all year defensively.
Really?
Yeah, like, I need him to go 30 games without an error.
But okay, if he went 60 games without an error, would you be shocked? Because he's Fernando Tatis and he's...
No, then I'd say he's evened it out, right? But,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like...
But he can totally do that.
Right. But he has to go the rest of the year. Like, no, he has to go the rest of the year.
I'm just saying he's... There's nothing that he can do that would surprise me.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
And I think he's a potentially great defensive shortstop. But it does bear repeating that he was not a great defensive shortstop in 2019.
True.
When he That's made true. A lot of errors, yep. a lot of throwing 19. Errors.
19.
Right. And then in 2020, when he was great, he was a really short season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Okay. The double play against the Dodgers, which we probably should have talked about a lot more, because it's one of the most, it might be one of the plays of the year.
Yeah.
How many shortstops make that play?
Yeah, 3 or 4. Right. You know,
I mean, that's
a great, it's a great throw.
80, what was it? It was 87 miles an hour, 89
yeah, I think
miles
they said
an hour,
87.
Something.
Yeah. But
I mean,
still,
holy shit.
It was a great throw.
His talent is just his raw talent.
No and one doesn't want to have him. Right, we signed him.
No. Again, we have to keep remembering this. He's 22. He's 22 and he still hasn't played 162 games yet. Right.
Right.
Right. And he has 45 home runs. 46 home runs, something
total.
Like that.
Yeah. No. He's been basically the best player ever, but his defense has not been that good.
So yeah. So it's we got to take the good with the bad. I mean, he's.
That's
but seriously,
it.
He's still in his rookie season.
No chance.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh no. But he's still in his rookie season. Basically, at the end of the day, I think he's at 100 and 56 games or something like that. I think he's just under that full. Yeah. So, which is basically a full season. But I mean, that's crazy. It's fucking crazy.
All right. Between now and the next Padres Hot Tub Free podcast, Corey, the Padres will play 2 games against Arizona and 3 games against San Francisco. At the end of these 5 games, where do you think the Padres lie?
I want to say 4-1. I want to say 4-1. Possibly 3-2, though.
Probably. I'm going to go 3-2. I think 3-2 is reasonable.
I'm worried because
I'd love Pattica's to see the Padres shove it on the Giants this weekend. I'd love to see shove it.
Still pissed.
But I could see us be down 5-0 on Tuesday. You know,
it's funny. It's funny. I don't even know if we even mentioned him.
You don't have to this time.
He scares the
that's
shit out
why
of me.
John. That's how you know John's not here. We haven't talked about Paddock. We're 1:20 into the podcast.
What's funny is, like, he's had some really great innings, like really great innings. Like, and he's had some bad luck behind him also. But you're just always. It's just you just know that there's going to be this one inning, and it all just falls apart. And I just.
I'll give you an old. This is old. This shows you how old I am, but it's an old reference. When I was growing up with the California Angels, before they were the Anaheim Angels, Chuck Finley used to be Chris Paddock. Chuck Finley used to be dominant for 3 innings and then give up a 5 spot. And you'd be like, what happened in that 5 spot? And then he'd pitch 2 more good innings after that. 6 innings, 5 runs, but 5 of the innings were shutout. Yeah, and you'd be like, what happened?
And that's crazy, too. Because you see it happen. Like you see a bloop single drop in or an error or a walk, and you go, here we go. But yep. You know it's coming. And but he can't get his head right to go, I gotta stop this right now. And that's what a good pitcher can do is go, okay, all right, okay. So my second baseman fucked up. Whatever. Okay, all right. Let's throw a double play ball here. It explodes, and it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. We just need him to be a good 5. That's all. He just has to be a guy that gives us 5 innings and gives up 3 runs. And then we hand it to our spectacular bullpen, and just, but it's just not. Yeah.
All I care about it is somewhere between 160 and 180 innings. The actual bulk result of performance, I don't care about as much. Just needs to soak innings. Like, give me 6.
Right.
6-4 out of the 4 spot. I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
Be a five, man. Just be a 5. Ugh, so frustrating.
Okay, so anyway. My friend, thank you so much for giving me and our listeners incredible time and fun and energy this evening. I'd like to remind everyone that the Padres Hot Tub Experience extends well beyond our free feed. We enjoy and appreciate every single one of you who subscribe to the podcast and who listen to us on a weekly basis. But for as low as $5 a month, you can get so much more. Go to patreon.com/PadresHotTub. You will get, for example, our Wednesday interview where I'm going to talk with national baseball writer Joe Sheehan about why all these pitchers get injured and how baseball has no idea what to do with all these arms. That's the type of interview you can get, plus our banter podcasts, plus ad-free podcasts and more, and our Discord server, which is worth the cost of admission. Go to patreon.com/PadresHotTub and get hooked up with the entire Padres Hot Tub Experience. Until then, for John in absentia, Corey here in person, I'm Craig Elston. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get out of the hot tub and towel off. Go Padres.